Blog Talk Radio.
It's Saturday, July 18th, 2015, and this is show number 19.
The age of delusion is here. The great falling away has begun. False teachers and false gospels are everywhere. The angel of light has become so visible in today's apostate church that even false Bibles have made their way into mainstream Christianity. The Bible warns that on Judgment Day, Jesus will say to the many, "I never knew you." This program exists to make sure that when Jesus says that, not talking to you.
And God Thoughts Radio is back on the air. I'm Pastor Brad, and oh my goodness, I've got a special treat for you today. We've got a live interview with a former Muslim who gave her life to Jesus Christ. You know, I'm going to call her Sandy, which of course is not her real name, but that's for the protection of her family back home. This gal grew up in a Muslim country, as a Muslim all of her life. But then at a certain point, she had an encounter with the living God and gave her life to Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Sandy, I want to welcome you to God Thoughts Radio.
Hi, Pastor Brad. Thank you. Please allow me say hi to all the listeners of this station, too. And thank you for inviting me to your program.
Oh, you're so very welcome. We've been excited about this broadcast for a long time. Sandy, I want to jump us right into it because I know we've got a lot of ground to cover in our broadcast. I just want to start out by asking you, why did you become a Christian?
Actually, I was born in a Muslim family, but not a strict one. My parents always encouraged us to be with God, to fear God. The fear that could keep us from committing sins, and the only reason for that was because of God's punishment. It was just about fear and nothing more. Such fear had no power which could prevent us from doing wrong or being good enough. At least I knew that I was not good enough to get close to God. I was practicing my 5-time daily prayers, the same words and the same act like a robot. During the routine prayers, I was thinking about anything except God. I was trying to focus on Him, but I could not. And for me, that was the main reason that made me feel sinful, guilty, and so unworthy to God. And that's not strange. It's normal. When you feel there is no way to get close to God or please Him, you will get disappointed and go your way. This happened to me. I know all Muslims, if they're going to be honest, have the same feelings about their daily prayers. I didn't feel any love, kindness, mercy, or anything good about God, and not even about myself. In my mind, He was a dangerous, mean God, an angry, unjust, and unfair one. When reading Quran, my fears got worse. It was a time that too many questions and ambiguities came to me, and nobody could answer me. They just keep saying, "Do not think of God so deeply, because that will make you crazy. You will go mad." But my thoughts about the nature of God, I mean Allah, and the tragedy that I will never be able to fully trust Him made me leave that kind of relation with Him. I was seeking relief from living under the burden of sin so that I can get close to Him without fear, a confident way. I remember one night, for the first time, I talked to God in a different way and in a friendly manner. I told Him, "God, I want to tell you something, but please do not punish me. I decided not to worship you like before anymore, but I'm begging you not to leave me." I said, "I'm not happy with this kind of relation, and I know you are not either. So if you are a real God, reveal yourself to me." After that conversation, I felt a kind of peace in my heart. In fact, He was that simple prayer of it. I left everything behind and just felt I need to know Him more. To make it short, I was not the first member of my family who became Christian. After some struggling and fighting on it, I decided to read the Bible and try the new God. And that decision was the beginning of an unbelievable change in my life. In Him, I found everything I was looking for, in Jesus Christ. Now I know that actually I was a Christian, but I didn't know that, as God had chosen me for the salvation from the beginning.
Oh my goodness, Sandy, I'm sitting here feverishly taking notes because what you're saying is so incredibly biblical. I quoted you here as saying that you decided to read the Bible and try the new God. How cool is that? What childlike transparency. And on a serious note, let's see if I've got this right. You said that, God, I want to tell you something, but please do not punish me. You said, I've decided to worship you, but not like before anymore. And you begged Him not to leave you. You said you're not happy with that kind of a relationship, and you know He's not either. And then you said something I find very, very profound because it's so biblical. You said, if you're a real God, reveal yourself to me. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches, listeners. There are several places throughout Scripture, both in the Old and the New Testament, but one of my favorite places is Jeremiah 29:13, which says, God speaking, He says, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I just thrill at the reality that that promise transcends time or location or what country or what family you were born into. If you seek God, you will find Him. That's exactly what has happened with Sandy. Can you give us some more details, Sandy? How exactly did it happen?
Yeah. Well, after reading the Bible, I noticed many inconsistencies and contradictions between the two books, Quran and the Bible. And the most significant one was that Quran claims Jesus never got crucified. Here I want to tell you about a dream that my sister had when she was also confused in her belief. After asking God to show her the truth, one night she dreamed of my grandma who passed away years ago. My sister insisted and asked her to say something about what was going on out there, and my grandma told her, I just say one thing to you. Go and tell everybody you know. Biggest thing and the worst thing here is that you say or believe that Jesus was not crucified. At first, my sister had no idea of what she had meant until she recalled what Islam was teaching about Jesus. Anyway, I kept reading and reading the Bible and knowing more about God. That was not the God which I had already known. They were completely different. He was not dealing with me anymore. His love and goodness was not conditional and had nothing to do with my goodness. He revealed His unconditional and unending love to me. I felt His amazing grace, His compassion, His forgiveness, and His fairness. Now I knew that I was precious to Him and acceptable to Him through Jesus Christ, the God who, according to His word, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I was looking for this God and this kind of love. I was wondering which God I was worshiping for years and how easily we had been deceived for such a long time. But at the same time, I was so excited because I was finding the answers to all my questions. Jesus Himself was the answer. He was the living truth. Then I figured out why those strict Muslims didn't like people to read the Bible and know about the real Jesus as He has introduced Himself in the Bible, not merely as a prophet, because their eyes will be opened and they will see and they will know the truth. Knowing these facts, I decided to repent and accept Jesus as my only Savior, my Redeemer who was living. That was not a force anymore, but a choice. I invited Him to come to my heart. Then I went to the church and repented, and instantly something happened to me that I didn't expect that. Something real that I couldn't deny that, and I didn't know anything about it before. God gave me a new birth, as he had promised in his word. I felt all my heart that he had taken my sins away, and he assured me about that. My soul was rejoicing with the new freedom I found in the Lord. That night, when I went to sleep, all angels were singing heavenly songs till the morning. I will never forget that. The most beautiful songs that I've never heard in my life. I know that I was spiritually dead. He gave me the Holy Spirit and a living hope and transformed me. This is a personal experience which will happen to everybody who accepts Jesus as the Savior and the Lord. He can transform anybody who is seeking him from zero to hero, and I confess here that I was one of those zeros.
My goodness, Sandy, what hope, what encouragement. You know, you mentioned a couple of things that I wanted to reiterate. You said that something real happened to you that you couldn't deny, that you had never experienced before, that God gave you a new birth, that he, just like he promised in his word, and you felt with all of your heart that he had taken your sins away, and he assured you about that. Sandy, isn't that just exactly what the Bible says will happen? And I want to reiterate to anyone who's listening today that God's arms of love are wide open for you, and the love that he has expressed in reaching Sandy and her family for Jesus Christ is the same love that is available to you. And yet, as Sandy said, and I love this, Sandy, you said that God is not a God of force, but he's a God of choice. And it's so true. He doesn't force himself on anyone, but he leaves the choice up to us. You know, Sandy, before we go any further, I want to update the listeners. They may not all be aware that there really, really are some radical, radical differences between the Quran and the teachings of the Bible. And you mentioned one in your dream, or rather in your sister's dream. The angel told her, go and tell everybody you know, I'm quoting here, that the biggest sin and the worst thing here is that you say or believe that Jesus was not crucified. And it's very important for our listeners to know that that's one of the major differences between the Quran and the Bible. The Quran teaches adamantly and very clearly that Jesus was not crucified. In fact, I've got my Quran open right now to Surah chapter 4. That's Surah 4, verse 157 and following, and let me read that. And for their saying, meaning a reference to Christians, we have killed the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, and they killed him not. Let me reiterate that. The Quran teaches that they did not kill him or crucify him, nor did they cause his death on the cross, but he was made to appear to them as such, as I continue to read, and certainly those who differ therein are in doubt about it. They have no knowledge about it, but only follow a conjecture, and they killed him not for certain. And so the Quran teaches that Jesus was not crucified. And again, I need to give the listening audience a little bit of background that there are primarily three sources of authority in Islam. There is the Quran, which is considered to be the inspired word of God. And then there is something called the Hadith, and that's a collection of traditional sayings of the Prophet Muhammad. And then there's what is called the Sunnah, which are accounts of his daily practice. But as far as the Hadith goes, and I want to transition here to my next question for you, Sandy, the Hadith, collections of what Muhammad said, and the Bukhari Hadith is perhaps the most respected. And for many, it is equivalent, it holds the same authority as the Quran itself. And in the Bukhari Hadith, it's very clear what happens to someone like Sandy when they become a Christian after having been a Muslim. Just going to give you a few quotes here from Volume 4, Book 52, Number 260. It says that if somebody, a Muslim, discards his religion, then kill him. Again, in Volume 9, number 17, it says that the blood of a Muslim who confesses that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah and that I am his messenger cannot be shed except in three cases. And the third case is the one who reverts from Islam, known as an apostate, and leaves the Muslims. from Bukhari 957. It says that whoever changes his Islamic religion, then kill him. And then one more quote from volume 9, number 58. It says, who is this man? And Abu Musa said, he was a Jew and became a Muslim and then reverted back to Judaism. But Mu'ad said, I will not sit down until he has been killed. This is the judgment of Allah, his messenger, and repeated it thrice. And then Abu Musa ordered that the man be killed, and he was killed. So, Sandy, I know my listeners are very interested, and I wanted to ask you, what about fear? What about fear, Sandy? Weren't you afraid of being killed because you forsook Islam and became a Christian?
I told him not. Faith and fear cannot exist together. God did not give us a spirit of fear. We can find the phrase fear not many times in the Bible, although I believe that once should be enough as it's God's will. Walking with God and being regenerated by the Holy Spirit removed all my fear. If I had chosen, I would be determined to trust this amazing God and follow him in my spiritual journey regardless of anything. He gave me courage and assured me that his word and promises were true and that he was in control and will keep me safe. I knew as long as God was with me, nobody could be against me. He let me walk through his path fearlessly and have practical experiences that strengthen my faith so that I can trust him with all my heart and mind. In fact, faith will overcome fear. Where there is faith, there is no fear. In addition, I knew God had a plan for me, and he didn't save me to be killed so early. I believe that God will not allow something to happen without the purpose of his glory. So I was ready for any happenings according to his purpose and for his glory only.
Oh, what a message to the American church. What a message that the American church needs to hear. The Bible is so clear that there is no fear in love, that perfect love casts out fear, that the one who fears does not know God. Oh, my goodness. You yourself, Sandy, you just said, I just jotted this down, where there is faith, there is no fear. And I'd like to add as well the opposite. And where there is fear, there is no faith. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of a sound mind and boldness and courage. And pray, in fact, I want to pray right now, Sandy, for just a moment. I ask that this spirit of fear that is in the American church be rebuked, and that the spirit of courage and faith that you've given to Sandy would go out through the airwaves and touch whoever is willing to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what, Sandy, I have a question that the really personal significance to me, because I've got a lot of colleagues, I've got a lot of family members who actually believe that the Allah of the Quran is the same God as the Yahweh of the Bible. And I'm just curious, as a former Muslim yourself, as someone who has read and understood the Quran and now also has read and understood the Bible, what do you say to American Christians who believe that Allah, the Allah of Islam, is the same God as that in the Bible?
I say no, they're clearly different. If they were the same, their words should be the same too. But we see that their words are totally different and in conflict with each other, in general and in detail. Even a glance at the real followers of each God talks what's going on. Now, the question is, if they are not the same, so which one is the real God? The real Christians have basic tenets of faith, which one of them is Jesus' crucifixion. If another so-called holy book teaches that Jesus never got crucified and denies his salvation, still believe that they are the same? Definitely not. The teachings of these two gods are completely different. We should not forget that God is unchangeable and his word is true. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change his work. He will not confuse those who are seeking the truth. The God of the Bible is a living God who passionately loves us. The God who came to take our place for punishment, to suffer and die for us. His love can transform anybody who believes in him. He is a powerful God who seeks to save us. He is the God of choice, not the God of force as I have already known him. He is slow to anger and rich in love. He is a real accessible God. His salvation and presence bring comfort, confidence, peace, hope, and joy to life. Indeed, we can find these blessings, privileges, and confidence just in Christ Jesus and nowhere else. I believe that.
Oh, you know, Sandy, I am just sitting here in the studio, and I'm praising the Lord for the privilege that both I have to listen to your testimony as well as on behalf of our listeners. You mentioned so many things. I want to just emphasize one thing. You said that the teachings of these two gods are completely different, and indeed they are. Just a cursory reading of the Quran and the Bible reveals that. Just a couple of examples. The God of the Bible is a God of love, and as you said, the God of the Quran is not a God of love. The God of the Bible is a God of relationship, a God who desires intimacy. Not so with the Allah of the Quran. He is a very distant God. And I want to emphasize again for our listeners, I've got the Quran in front of me, and as was mentioned earlier, there are some radical, radical differences between the teachings of the two books. And as Sandy mentioned, the Quran is equally clear. As we talked about earlier, Jesus was not crucified, according to Muhammad, speaking on behalf of Allah. And not only that, but one of the clearest teachings of the Bible is that Jesus is the Son of God, whereas one of the clearest teachings of the Quran is that Jesus is not the Son of God. Let me give you some references for your own study. Reading from the Quran in Surah, that's chapter 19, verse 35, it says, "It beseems not Allah that he should take to himself a son." Reading further on in the Quran in chapter 19, verses 88 through 92. And they say, "Allah has taken himself a son? Certainly you make an abominable assertion. They ascribe a son to Allah. It is not worthy of Allah that he should take to himself a son." In chapter 112 of the Quran, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Say, he, Allah, is one. Allah is he on whom all depend. He begets not, nor is he begotten." Again, in chapter 23, verse 91, it says very clearly, "Allah has to himself a son." And then finally, in chapter 37 of the Quran, verses 151 and 152, "Now surely it is of their own lie that they say Allah has begotten, and truly they," that is the Christians, "are liars." So I'm not sure how you can get any more different if you just simply take the time to read both books. I just can't imagine how people can come away thinking that they are the same God. And the reality is that if Jesus is not the Son of God, if Jesus did not die on the cross for our sins, then Jesus is not the risen Savior. And I want to say to our listeners that logic and reason demand that Jesus can't be both the Son of God and not the Son of God at the same time, can he? Jesus can't have died on the cross for our sins and at the same time not have died on the cross for our sins, can he? Jesus can't be both the risen Savior of the world and at the same time not have died on the cross for our sins and therefore did not rise from the dead to be Savior of the world. I'm telling you very respectfully that it's nonsensical, it's unreasonable, it's illogical, yes, even delusional to think that the Allah of the Quran is the same God as the Yahweh of the Bible. Sandy, what do you want Americans to know about Islam?
The most important thing that they should know is that Islam denies and rejects all basic tenets of the Christian faith. If they are interested to know more about Islam, I just want to encourage them to read Quran. Or the easier way is that they can just search the web for what Islam says about different topics like the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael with salvation, or how to treat those who do not believe in Allah. It means all non-Muslim ones, or about the women, or the war, and so on. Matthew 7, verses 15 to 17 says, "Be aware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. And ISIS is a good example of Islam's fruit. I hear a lot that some people say, but we know very nice and peaceful people who are Muslims. I say, yes, they are, but the reason is that not all Muslims understand and follow their religion. I mean, their goodness
wow.
has nothing to do with their religious beliefs. They are just good people, like other people."
Yeah, you know, I want to just reiterate what you just said. If I quoted you right here, that some people say, but we know very nice and peaceful people who are Muslims. And you said, yeah, that may be the case, but the reason is that not all Muslims understand and follow their religion. And Sandy, I want to also add that not all Christians understand and follow their religion. In fact, it's been my experience in more than 30 years of ministry that in the vast majority of cases, most professing Christians are no different than most professing Muslims, in that neither in the group have any idea what their holy scripture teaches because they've never read it. So I don't want to pick on Muslims any more than I want to pick on Christians. We've got a situation, the reason for the ignorance of thinking that they're similar in their belief systems or that Allah is the same as the Yahweh of the Bible is because so many have never actually taken the time to read what the Quran and what the Bible really teach. It's just heartbreaking to me, but it's just so true. You know, for the sake of time, Sandy, I just have one other question for you as we begin to close. What would you say or what do you want to say to Christians who are absolutely terrified, absolutely scared to death to speak out against Islam? What would you say to those Christians?
Unfortunately, such fear is growing among Christians everywhere. I want to invite them to face their fear, to cope with this fear, because fear brings torment according to 1 John 4:18. Most of the time when we face our fear, we discover that it was not really a big deal. In other words, it didn't exist at all. It was not real. Fear stops us from being who God is calling us to be. It even stops people from sharing Jesus. Here I want to say that it's absolutely wonderful that for years you have been blessed to live in a free, safe country, but it seems that God has some expectations of you now, and he has put an end to such unwise comfort here. Everything is about to change. He is looking for your spiritual revival, a transformation. I'm so afraid to say that your fear and silence will not help, and it brings enemies to you at last. They are much closer to you than what you think, and if you fear them, you will not learn how to deal with them. And consequently, they will overcome you and steal your happiness and freedom and much more than that. Don't let this happen to you and your country. Many people around the world are suffering from what their fears brought to them. Remember that the only thing that can remove your fear is faith. God is going to teach you how to overcome your fear through faith. If you hear him today, please don't turn away. Do not close your ears to his voice because of fear. I think now is the time that God calls you to step out of your comfort zone. I know sometimes being willing to tell the truth is not really comfortable, but if God leads you to talk about it, or warn others about it. Do it. Do not be scared. God is
Amen.
In control.
Amen to that, Sandy. You know, I'm just noticing right now that we have several callers that are on hold. But I'm sorry to tell you that this is not a call-in show today. I can't afford to open up the lines just for safety purposes. I've got to be very careful there. But I do want to, those of you that are calling in, next week's show will be all about the subject of Islam and going to give the opportunity for you to call in. So please call back next week when I'll be taking live calls. Sandy, you made several statements that I wanted to reiterate. You said, fear stops us from being who God is calling us to be. Oh, how true that is. I've seen that fear often becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy for people. That, you know, the very thing you fear, your fear, if you're not careful, will bring it to pass. And you also said that now is the time that God calls you to step out of your comfort zone. And that is my heart cry. Dear listeners, professing Christians, it's time to speak up. It's time to speak out. The Bible clearly teaches us to not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. The Bible teaches us that there will be no excuse on Judgment Day for our naivety or our ignorance. We must search the Scriptures daily to see what's true and what is not true. I want to end today's program by reminding us of what Jesus clearly taught in all four Gospels when he said, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who shall save it. I am so thrilled to expose all of you to the reality that Sandy's God is a God of boldness. Sandy's God is a God of courage. Sandy's God is a God of light in a very dark world, and the followers of Jesus Christ are called to be that light in this ever-increasing darkness. God said, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not look anxiously about you, for I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Oh, Sandy, I just can't thank you enough for being with us today on God Thoughts Radio. Do you have any last words that you wanted to say to our listening audience before I close this up?
No, I just want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to share my testimony. That God bless you, the people in America. Thank you.
Oh, boy. Well, you're very welcome, but all thanks to you. I just want to thank God for whatever he's done in your life to bring you to this point where you're willing for his sake to be his spokesman. I'm just going to close this in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this magnificent time to glorify you, to expose evil and the darkness, to speak the truth in love. And, oh, Father, watch over your word and perform it. Cause the voice of your authority to be heard. And, Lord, Sandy and I agree together with what your scripture says in the book of Isaiah, that your word, when it goes forth, will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose that you set for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today at God Thoughts Radio. For more information about Pastor Brad and God Thoughts, go to GodThoughtsGlobal.com, where you'll also find archives from all of our past shows. Pastor Brad would love to speak at your church. You can contact him via email at GodThoughtsWired@gmail.com or connect with him on LinkedIn at Dr. Brad Righteous. Until next time, thanks for listening.